that, very much as you said in the video, there are those who believe, and there are those who believe they believe. I'll show you someone who really believes because of what they're willing to die for. And hallelujah. All right, Steve, you closed play and put on record. All right, not yet. If you open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy. But first, I would like to pray. Father, help me step aside and let you rule in this moment. Give me perfect utterance, as Paul prayed, Lord. Perfect utterance that your will, your message be brought forth today, and that we who hear it may walk in it to your glory, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We will suffer persecution. That's a promise. It's not, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. It is not, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. It's not one that you find written on the walls in people's homes. It's not one that's framed and displayed prettily. But it is one that is real in every single Christian life. I wanted to read this commentary from Pastor Chuck, our pastor's mentor. This is one of my least favorite promises in the Bible. I don't think anyone prints this promise on a promise card or in a book of promises, but it is a promise just the same. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You cannot escape it, so don't even try. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. It is a dangerous thing to try to curry favor from the world. If you seek godliness, you will be persecuted. There are many, many martyrs under the throne or under the altar in heaven now. There are many becoming martyrs today. There are the persecuted in droves, countless people in at least 63 hostile countries. You can go to persecuted.org and you will find at the Voice of the Martyrs website many who have given their lives. They offer Fox's Book of Martyrs, not only the original publication, but an updated version of those even to the 21st century who have given their lives in the spread of the gospel. There are many, many martyrs. And they're wonderful examples of faith. And I wanted to bring that forward, but I believe the Lord is leading me in a different direction. Because every single one of us are persecuted. And I want, as I believe the Lord wants, something to be applicable to our lives today, a way to resist the persecution that we're all facing from the enemy of our souls, Satan. The people you saw in the video who beat Richard Wurmbrand, they were a tool of the enemy. The things we discussed in Bible study today of people who look at suffering and turn away, they are tools of the enemy. The enemy is the source of persecution, and God is the source of salvation. And the Lord Jesus told us to pray for those who persecute us. And I know that seems like a strange, contrary message, and it is. But how often is God's will in alignment with what makes sense to the world? There are many who have withstood persecution, who understand it viscerally. There are examples in the Word. David, many, many Psalms, says, "Oh, my soul, why are you disquieted within me?" Many times. Paul understood it from both ends. Paul persecuted the church, and Paul was persecuted by those he worked with in the persecution of the church. Praise the Lord. I believe every word of God is pure. It is given by inspiration. In the same chapter, just a few verses down from our original verse, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Good works are not simply feeding the hungry or bringing the gospel to the lost. A good work is also, in Jesus' name, suffering the affliction and doing it as Richard Wurmbrand did it. He prayed for the people who beat him. Paul and Silas, singing praise to God in the prison after they had been beaten, were praying also for those who had beaten them and led one of their tormentors to Christ. Each and every one of us is being persecuted by the enemy of our souls at this time. And there are tools in his hand he is using to do that, and they are human beings. It is difficult to think about people like that as human beings, because what human would do the things to us that some of us have suffered? I'm not going to go into any details about things I have suffered or anyone else has suffered, because those things are actually inconsequential compared to the importance of our response to those things. Now, I'm not saying don't get angry. The Lord even says, be angry and sin not. There are no such thing as positive or negative emotions. People say anger is a negative emotion. I say no, it is an emotion, period. The things we do in motivation by those emotions are the positive and the negative. Behaviors are positive or negative. So if we respond in kind, the world understands that. That guy just got punched in the face. Of course he's going to turn around and punch the guy back. He's defending himself. But the Lord says, turn the other cheek. My mom knew a priest when in her childhood. And the story is told that this priest, one day, somebody just walked up to him and smacked him across the face. And instead of responding in kind, he said, "Wow, you must have had a really bad day." And then we've seen the video, I believe most of you have seen the video, of Billy Joe Daugherty. In the midst of preaching, somebody came up to him and punched him in the face and bloodied his brow, cut him, and he's bleeding. And there's people in his church tackling this man and taking him down, and Billy Joe is saying, "Be easy, this man obviously needs help. Let's pray for this man." And these things don't make sense to the world. They don't even make sense to a lot of people in the church. And yet when we respond in kind to persecution, to torment, that's just opening the door to the enemy to come in with other things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. But the weapons of his warfare are not carnal. They are spirits of offense, spirits of jealousy and envy, spirits of vengeance. And these things have to be brought under the obedience of Christ. These are the things we need to bring into captivity and into the obedience of Christ. And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, Lynn Anderson said, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." You know, Jesus could have said that, and he did. In John 16, he said, "In this world you will have trials, you will have tribulations." And then he said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That is the world system. The world says, when you get knocked down, get up and knock them down. Jesus says, when you get knocked down, that person is already knocked down. Help them up. Turn to them a spirit of love, not a spirit of vengeance. Use forgiveness. We are to resist the enemy, and he will flee. Now, as Paul says, "I have not arrived, I have not attained, and neither have I. But God is working in me this thing which will perfect me." And so I praise God for the perfection he's working in me. It's a process. He's still working on me. And I thank him for the work. It's not easy. If you could feel, if clay could feel, if it had nerves, I imagine what the potter does to clay would be torturous. It's pulled. It's ripped apart. It's squeezed. It's shaped and molded into something that it had no idea it could be. And it's put through fire to harden it. And yet, when it is done, when the shaping and the putting on of the glaze is done, when the firing is done, you have a work of art. And that's what we are. We are works of art in the potter's hand. And that persecution is the shaping and the molding. You know, the Lord says he turns all things to the good for those who love him. Am I saying lay down and submit to persecution? Absolutely not. As Paul says, God forbid. What I am saying, resist in a godly way. Resist through forgiveness. Resist through prayer for that persecutor. Once you've done everything you can do, God will do what He can do. He's still working on me. I have some things I have to do yet. I have some relationships in this life that I haven't fully surrendered. And so I need to do that. All for You, Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I guess this is a short message today. I don't know. I want to surrender to Him. I want His word brought, not mine. I have so many ideas on this, so many thoughts, and they are racing through my mind like jellyfish in a jellyfish swarm or fish in a shoal in the sea. And it's hard to net them in, which is why, like I said, He's still working on me. I'm trying to set myself aside and bring forth what He wants and surrender myself. So I want to, we've been talking about going back to our first love, which is Jesus, and doing things how He wanted them done or wants them done. And when I first started preaching, and I can't believe this, it's been 15 years ago, or earlier than that even, I used to write down every single word of my messages, my sermons. I wrote them down word for word. And I stood up there and I read them. I didn't read robotically. I've always been a pretty good reader, praise the Lord. But I read them. And now I have hardly any notes. And again, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit guides me as I surrender myself. Sometimes I get up here and I have a blank moment because myself is trying to come through instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to come through. And when you allow self to come through, the enemy can come through. So, again, setting myself aside, what I used to do is I would take a key phrase or a key word and I would study that out from its origin, from the Hebrew and the Greek. And I did that this time, thinking I'm going back to the beginning. I'm going back to the first love, to the way it began. But the Lord has showed me you don't necessarily have to do that. It's not the actions. It's the spirit behind them that matters. And so, again, here I am with this many notes. That's it. And so these are the word persecuted in the Hebrew and the Greek. In Hebrew, it is radaf, to run after, usually with hostile intent, to chase, to put to flight, to follow after, to hunt, or to be under persecution. In the Greek, it is dioko. It is to flee, to pursue, by implication, to persecute, censure, follow after, given to suffer. Is also ikiako, to pursue out, expel, or persecute implacably. And that is where my study ended, because that word implacably, which means unable to placate, it showed me the futility of persecution. You cannot be satisfied by persecuting anyone of anything. There's no satisfaction in it. once that vengeance is carried out, there's always going to be another target. Persecution has no fulfillment. None. The first Greek word I mentioned, dioko, another definition is press toward. And that struck me as well because, as it says in Philippians 3, Paul tells us, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there is, along the same line, if we look at vocabulary, I'm a word girl, and I don't mean just the word of God, I mean grammatically and vocabulary. I like to look at words. I loved doing sentence trees. Do you remember that when we were younger in school? The teacher would have you do sentence trees, and you had to pick out the verbs and the adverbs and the nouns and the pronouns. And I enjoy that. And it still carries forth today. Press toward. And I found, and it's just a personal opinion, a personal reflection, that these words are along, they each have a linear measure. Pride is one where you can think you are puffed up and better than everyone else, or at the other end of the scale, you are not good at all. You're no good. Nothing can save you. You're elevating your worthlessness above the power of God to save you, and that is pride. By the same token, press toward. Persecute, go after. That has a linear message, a linear measure. On one end is persecution, where they're going after something. People who are used by the enemy to persecute, they're going after something they don't even understand. They don't know what they're looking for. They're told that this thing, in this case Christianity, is wrong. It's evil or it's imaginary and it's fruitless. And so they go out to stamp it out. And at the same token, Paul says to press toward the goal for the prize. There is a goal. There is a prize. There is an end to the race. And there is a fulfillment. Whereas in persecution, it's implacable, it's unfulfilled, there's no way to satisfy it. When you press toward Jesus, there is a fulfillment. There is a reward. And so, when, as in the case of the video, which is solitary prayer for those listening, go check it out at persecuted.org. When he prayed, when he told his persecutor he was praying for him, visually we saw a change in that man. There very recently has been an example of this in the Middle East. There's underground church over there. I praise God we live in the United States. We don't have to be underground in our faith. We don't have to worship behind locked, closed doors in basements. We can worship freely. In the Middle East, in these 63 nations, which are so hostile, they cannot. And so this man, whose testimony I heard over the yesterday, in fact, he was persecuted by a man daily. He had 30 different death threats by this man. And he counted them as 30 because the same man would go to his house and he would number on his walls. He painted in writing the ways he was going to kill him and his family. But he continued to pray for that man. And through his prayer for that man, through his lack of submission to those threats, that persecutor was led to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there are wonderful ministries out there doing the same thing. Instead of condemning the persecutors, they're praying for the persecutors. They are providing for the needs of the persecutors. And those ministries have been most successful in stopping the persecution because they have ended that warped hunger inside the persecutor and have shown them that they, instead of persecuting implacably, they can pursue to fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so that is what I would like us to do. I would like us to pray for our persecutors. That we have a poster on our bulletin board which shows 10 ways we can pray for those who are in persecution in the Lord. And one of those is to pray for the persecutors. Not once will you find a request for deliverance from the persecution. Because these people understand, as no one else does, that would be against God's will. Deliverance does not help anyone truly. It might help the person suffering persecution, but then the persecution could come in through another avenue. But if you pray for strength to endure, if you pray for the knowledge of God's will, then you're in His will. You're in His will. You will have grace such as you have never known. The enemy gets more angry, and I've noticed this because the enemy has come against me more strongly as I have grown in stopping asking for deliverance and growing in asking for knowledge of God's will, in asking for strength to endure, in asking for prayer, in asking for a saving knowledge of Christ in my persecutors or those who have persecuted me in the past. And the enemy hates that. That's when you know you're really resisting him, is because he tries to come back at you harder. And so you praise God more and you pray for those persecutors more. So glory to you, God. Glory to you, Lord, for showing us how to be in your will. God, I pray. I pray as the man in Asia asked us to pray. He said, "Do not ask that we be delivered from persecution. Ask for God to give us knowledge of His will and strength to endure." And so, I show you Paul's words again from Philippians 3:13-14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We have not arrived. When Jesus comes and we are taken away, we will have arrived. Hallelujah. One thing we must do, forget the sufferings that have come in the past. Reach forward to those things which are ahead. See your persecutors as God sees them. Forgive them. Pray for them. That is reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That is pressing toward the goal for the prize. Because the prize is salvation. The prize is Jesus. The upward call of God is forgiveness. Let us reach for that prize. Let us reach for the upward call of God. Let us forgive our persecutors. Let us pray for them. And let us be examples to others in Christ Jesus, so that we may say at the end, glory, hallelujah. We have attained. This person has attained. That is the strength of God. It is His grace and His mercy. I could go off on a whole other sermon right now about how God's mercy is His own greatest attribute. He says so in His word. Moses asked Him, show me your glory. And He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So hallelujah, thank you God for your mercy. Father, I pray in the name of our all-powerful, most glorious Savior and Lord Jesus, that we would follow His example, that we would forgive those who hurt us, that we would pray for those who use us and persecute us, that they would come to a saving knowledge of You, Lord Jesus, and that they in turn would reach for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then we leave them to You, God. We release the hold of offense. We bind offense now in the name of Jesus the Christ. Spirit of offense, I bind you in the name of Jesus the Christ. It is written, whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. I bind you, spirit of offense. I cast you in the dry place, and I loose confusion on you that you do not find your way out. I bind to every heart here a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of God's mercy, a spirit which seeks the will of God, that we may walk worthy of You, O Lord, and be fully pleasing to You for Your glory, God, and to snatch souls from hell. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Praise You, God. Thank You for Your glorious word. Thank You for Your mercy. Help us share it with the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.